tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Some Bob Dylan.
Thank you very much.
Yes, excellent. I know you love this song.
I was very happy to hear this song in the
show
tonight.
You were singing along a little bit. You couldn't help it.
Can't help myself.
Well, welcome back, Masters of Sex fans, to another Masters of Sex after show. I'm Will Link. With me, as always, Adrian Snow.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing tonight?
And Quinn Skillian.
Hi, guys.
And this is Episode 8, Season 3, Surrogates.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, this obviously is surrogates for the sex surrogate program that they are starting, but a lot of people also within the episode using people as surrogates in a certain way in their lives.
A lot of replacement kind of situations.
Yeah, definitely with
Libby.
Even Virginia with the kid from the army as her son,
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to get into. There's a lot of different storylines going on, but we might as well start with the surrogate.
Mm-hmm.
Storyline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which isn't the surrogacy that I was thinking of. Like, it wasn't like someone else carrying a child. What it is is someone stepping in to help these guys with their sexual
dysfunction.
Yeah, dysfunction.
And
yeah.
One brave man who's stepping in as
he's really doing it for the good of the world, isn't he?
This isn't a revenge plan against his wife at all.
No.
It's funny, though. We had talked about briefly at the end of last week about the idea of Jane becoming a surrogate is like kind of a full-time position, mm-hmm. and immediately we're thrown into that's what the case is, and they're looking for people, but I guess it isn't an awkward job because they can't pay. They need volunteers.
Yeah, I was wondering, not to like skip forward too much, but at the end when Bill hands Nora a couple bucks so she can pay her rent or whatever, I was like, I wonder if that's going to come back and get him into some trouble, because that could be like paying her for this job that he's not supposed to.
There was some weird stuff. You guys left the room, but then I saw like the preview.
Oh.
So I don't think something happens between them, but I don't think it's that. But yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely something happening there. We'll get to that later.
Excellent though. New character Nora, played mm-hmm. by Emily Kinney, Beth from The Walking Dead.
I missed her so much. Yeah. Like, her dying on The Walking Dead was like a really big deal to me. So I'm happy to see.
Happy you see her now. She's back in the '60s.
Yeah. So much hope whenever I see her on TV, because she's a lot older than what people think.
Oh, oh really? Yes. Yay, girl!
I'm not aging out of
plan. No, no. We're 17. We are 17, and we are in high school.
That's right. That's what you got. You guys are. I don't know what this makes me. At this point. Well, you know what's interesting about the surrogate program? Virginia she's pulling like a Ferris Bueller's Day Off here. She's faking being sick to go off with Dan. And Bill's taking this opportunity to push forward the surrogate program because Virginia apparently is not really into this.
Yeah. She thinks it sounds a little dicey, which I get.
Yeah. And I mean, I think exactly though what you said about paying these women and stuff like that. There's clearly something.
Yeah, Betty says it's going to start sounding like something else.
Well,
yeah.
I thought it is interesting that the main focus of the surrogates is male sexual dysfunction. And they've kind of been lightly toying with this idea of Virginia having like a feminist perspective of kind of coming in and wanting. And it's just like small things that she'll say or how she'll react. And I think that's going to kind of be played on in the surrogates.
That
it is a very male focused thing. Like, what about the women who are suffering from sexual dysfunction? And how would you even go about handling a woman's sexual dysfunction?
And this is coming from Bill's kind of having this desire to help the underdog guy.
Yeah. And also because he had the sexual dysfunction, he feels like obligated.
So he feels
at least
this week it wasn't a gorilla he had to help him.
Mm. I know.
So the sexual dysfunction.
We had some fun comments in the YouTube section this week. I was really happy about that.
Yeah. A very divisive episode.
It surely was.
But so one of the people who comes in though is this girl, Nora Everett, and she apparently grew up on the street that Bill lived on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not one of the
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
People that Betty kind of first hand pick, because she's at first was picking people who they already had experience with, had already come in and done this with other people. Mm-hmm. But Nora's like kind of, she's kind of hungry for the job. She's a real go-getter.
She's a Virginia 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had such a teacher's pet moment in, like, when she was like, oh, I thought you wanted us to answer the question or whatever. And I was just
I'm
like,
not judging that, because I was totally that chick. I was definitely that girl.
I was like, girlfriend, put your hand down.
Squeaky wheel, you know? Mm. You gotta, you know, and Bill's buying into it. Bill loves
she
it.
She was saying exactly what Bill was like, music to Bill's ears.
She even, and it was that interesting moment where she told the story about how Bill's changed, mm-hmm, and about the story of when he drove her home one time when she hurt her knee, and he didn't say a word to her, which is such the Bill thing.
I was gonna say, like, I don't think Bill's changed. I think she just grew up.
Bill has changed. You think? Yeah. I mean, over the course of what, 12 years? Yeah.
Well, sure.
Oh yeah, and the influence of Virginia and just overall having children and. You know, I know he doesn't interact with them a lot.
He still has a barrier when it comes to
kids. Oh, he still has a long way to go, yeah. Oh, yeah. But he certainly has, like, softened to a certain extent, especially if you happen to be introduced to him in his work environment, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Versus his home environment.
And someone who obviously shows a serious interest in the subject.
He's one of those people, if you play to his ego a little bit, be it you want to talk about his sex research, or you want to talk about his complete
he's
collection
like
of football cards.
He's like very gorilla. He's an ego stroke.
He just needs to he needs to feel like part of something. Yeah. He feels the need belong. And Nora, I don't necessarily think she's being manipulative when she tells that story.
All.
I think it's just an observation she's making.
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, you think
she doesn't
maybe?
Rub me the wrong way. Is she rubbing you the wrong way?
A tiny little bit.
Hmm.
I guess what it comes down to is this. Is she looking for a mentor and he's looking for a protege, or do you think she's looking for more than that from Bill?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't, there's just something about it that felt like I'm waiting for maybe a motive or something. I don't know. I'm waiting to see if there's something else that she wants.
Okay.
I don't know.
It might be. But.
Well, I do wonder, I mean, since we're talking about her and you said the moment when he gives her the money,
mm-hmm,
I do feel like that could come back, because
just because it was made to be such a, they made such a point to say, we can't pay you. We saw all the women get up and walk away who were there, obviously, just for the stipend. So, I don't know. I think because they just felt like some foreshadowing. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I feel like it wouldn't have been brought up this much. It's also, I mean, quite frankly, it's really not right that they can't get paid for this. I mean, it's a far cry from prostitution, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I could see that coming back.
Well, how does that? I don't think
prostitution should really be illegal.
That's a different
argument.
I have no problem with that either. Yeah, I know there's a lot of cases in England going on about that now.
Yeah, I don't know if they're making it illegal. It's not illegal in England, is it?
I don't know. I saw some protests about this, about sex workers protesting in England.
The Belle du Jour, that Showtime show, oh God, Confessions, Secret
Diary of a Call Girl,
is based on a true story of an English woman who paid for medical school by becoming a prostitute, because it was at that time at least legal. So maybe they are trying to make it illegal.
I doubt it.
It's the oldest profession in the world.
You know, people should be able to do what they want to do.
Do what you want to do. Be safe.
Well, and these women should be able to do whatever they want, even in Bill's office.
Yeah.
And even if she's spending the night there, she's basically now living in the office there.
I know, yeah. A surrogate home, perhaps.
Exactly. Look at that. So surrogates all over the place.
Surrogates everywhere.
But Virginia's not the only one who's questioning the surrogate program. Libby has objections when she hears that Nora from down the street, nice little Nora with the Episcopalian parents and everything, is in the study. And I thought this was a great scene between Bill and Libby. And it was another one of these in the show is like, this is their bread and butter.
I thought this was a good Libby episode.
It was a good Libby episode overall. Yeah. Mm. But this was one of those scenes where people are saying everything without actually saying it to each other. And it's like, oh, if you had a real conversation. Because Bill says human beings can't survive without being touched.
Yeah.
And here it is, his wife, uh-huh. who he never touched.
Hello?
I mean, when the series started, they like had the separate beds and everything. I mean, they never had...
They're still in the separate beds.
Were they still in separate beds?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Well, this just speaks more to the point.
We never see them together anymore.
Well, yeah, we never see them in the bedroom anymore. Yeah. I mean, in his kids, he's so not affectionate towards his own kids. Yeah. So he doesn't practice what he preaches here.
I mean, Bill doesn't really touch anyone outside of Virginia. And even that's kind of like on the outs.
We haven't seen that as much.
Yeah. Well, because she's being whisked away by Dan.
She's otherwise occupied.
It's just interesting to see how puritanical Libby can be in her mindset and then how forward thinking she can be in other aspects.
Yeah.
And I know we talk about that a lot, about just like how, you know,
just like they're where we're at.
Forward moving people, but they're also still people of their world. But just her whole response to Nora wanting to be a part of the study when I guess she's such a good girl.
Yeah.
It's like
so it's even though Libby is like understanding to a lot of the work, she's still when it becomes somebody
not ladylike.
Yeah, she still has a certain attitude. Like, girls I know wouldn't have done that.
You know,
but
no big deal. Like, she has an apartment on the side with her best friend's husband that she's like screwing and smoking cigarettes.
Well, you know, since we're talking about Libby, let's talk about her storyline this episode, because you've been shipping them.
Yeah,
and they got together, and we just
get on the train because it's moving.
Yeah, and which is like we were talking about this also, how the show this season has really cut to the chase fast with a lot
of
stuff.
We've been talking a lot about what happened with Robert. What happened with Robert?
We finally,
and we were never sure if we were going to come back to that at all. And I don't think I had any idea what kind of toll that had taken on Libby's psyche.
Well, I had an idea only from the first episode by how she reacted to Henry getting hit by the car.
Sure,
I assumed that Robert had died in some instance. Violently, just because of how she reacted to the car. I wasn't sure if, like, because I know that
she gave a speech about, like, the civil rights movement that. Like, people are dying in this. So we just assumed that's
then,
how.
She also saw that man get hit by a car in season 2, which is how she was introduced to Robert. So I wasn't sure if that was, like, what she was thinking about that made her think about Robert and then
and
he was
Henry
murdered.
Got hit by a car in that episode.
Yeah.
God, if you're around Libby, you're going to get hit by a car.
Yeah.
This is that Bill better watch out.
But I did get some sympathy for Libby again, just hearing her talk about that and also hearing her say, I've already given it all. Like, she's like,
I mean, I
she's
think
not going to give
Fitzgerald
anymore.
Fitzgerald knocked that out of the park this week.
Yeah, she was great. And, you know, in the past few weeks, we've been, I don't want to say criticizing her, but her character's been a little more going off the Libby, off the deep end character.
Yeah.
And this kind of first gave it this. I mean, she loved Robert. Mm-hmm. Like, she genuinely loved him. I kind of wish we'd gotten to see a little bit more
of
that.
Of their love.
Just to see Libby be happy, because I think we kind of crave that for her.
Because we saw that at the end of the last season, and then we're back to kind of unhappy Libby.
Yeah.
And now we know why. And Paul is, you know. And I wrote down in my notes, like, when we first saw them together, and Paul's trying to be nice and make small talk, and he's like, oh, we should, like, stay.
He's asking have you always been called Libby or Elizabeth or whatever? He's trying to get to know her.
And Libby's just knocking him down. And I kept thinking, oh, yeah, this is she's trying to keep this fantasy life here, and just, you know, she's got Bill, and she's got all this other stuff. But really, it's Robert, the person she's trying to use him as a surrogate for, not Bill, not the lack of affection for Bill. Which also, to me, also means I don't think this Paul and Libby storyline can really go that much further.
She's obviously got some things she has to work through, but it doesn't mean that this, I mean, I could see her maybe working through it and then having Paul be there for her. So, I don't know.
I think Paul's relationship with Libby only serves as a catalyst to get her to leave Bill, you know? Because if Paul is there as a surrogate for Robert, and then if Paul and Libby, which it seems like they're going to eventually come to an end rather soon, there's going to be this kind of void there that can't be filled, and maybe that'll help her to realize like what's going on in her life and that she needs to move on.
I'm assuming when their relationship comes to an end, it's just going to be them ending it. I don't think they're going to get caught in any way.
No, I don't think they're going to get caught. I just think it's going to kind of be an eye-opener for Libby in terms of, okay, maybe it is time for me to end this sham marriage.
Somebody, and I wish I could remember their handle. I should have written it down. But someone tweeted us today, like, when is Libby finally going to leave him? And I do think it's going to happen this season.
It was kind of a difficult one.
Yeah, I can't remember that. But I apologize. I'll give you a shout-out next week. But she, yeah, I think it's going to happen this season. I think this is all part of it. And Libby is someone who just needs to be on her own for a while. Yeah. She can't be, you know, clearly Robert was a great love she has. Bill was never the love she really wanted him to be. Yeah. And she has to find herself.
Exactly.
And this relationship with Paul, which, by the way, is also benefiting Paul because of what's happened with his wife.
Yeah, sure.
He also doesn't have someone to have physical contact with right now. Yeah. He also needs somebody to touch touch him.
Exactly.
I've been saying, I feel like, all season, Libby has to be alone. She needs to be alone.
Yeah.
She needs to find herself.
Yeah.
So hopefully
this will be good. I think when the stuff started, you had said that, too. Like, no, it's not going to work.
But she, you know, Libby's still, the main thing with her is that she wants to keep the family unit together and everything. So when she does finally leave Bill, it's going to be like, I don't know, I'm taking the kids and leaving. Like, I can't see her, like, you know.
Well, as Adrian said, she's also kind of trapped by her times. Because still at that time, you know, if you had a family, you weren't it was still not.
So, but just leaving, that sounds simple, but it's not.
I don't think she's going to leave anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I just think the seed has been planted and it's going to slowly, like, grow until she finally is like, okay, I can do this.
Well,
and it might take the kids getting a little bit older before she's willing to do it.
Well, I don't think when she leaves she's going to, like, though, like, do a thing where I'm just leaving town and Bill's with.
No,
she's never going to leave her kids. But I do think by the end of the season she's going to leave Bill.
I think so.
I feel like we're building to. And we
Something
can only.
Something big needs to happen with Libby for sure, because I feel like we're putting a lot of money in the bank with her. We haven't really gotten to pull out a lot of action there.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like they're just setting up a lot of dominoes. So you have the kind of feminist agenda being kind of instilled in Virginia and Betty, and kind of get a little bit with Libby. So if we're in the mid-60s right now and they do another time jump by the end of the season and we're
in the
70s, we're in full...
We're in feminist mode.
Women's lib, everything. So that might be the moment she goes, okay, I can do this, I can leave.
You know, before we move on from the surrogates, we should talk about Lester and Jane in this episode, because Lester comes in, and actually the surrogate stuff, there was a lot of good humor in those scenes too, like when he was interviewing the people. First of all, there was the one woman who's like, oh yeah, I could have sex with someone as long as I'm in love with them.
Yeah.
You know?
that was the answer to the question of, like, are you able to separate emotion from sex?
Yeah.
That is her answer.
Yeah.
Obviously not.
There was another woman, although this woman should have been disqualified just for not paying attention, who was like, if it pays more, which is like, they already told you it didn't pay.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
that's true.
But then Lester comes in, and I was actually kind of surprised Bill let him into the thing, because it was so clearly, I mean, maybe is it just, I mean, is that just a show playing fast and loose for comic effect, or is it Bill actually thinks we need a man involved in this?
I don't think Bill thinks at all we need a man, but I think if he wants to convince Virginia to get on board, it is helpful to have Lester there.
That's true.
Yeah. I thought it was weird at some point when, like, they were in there and Lester said something like, that's not what you were saying last night. And I was like, that doesn't really feel like, it's a very non-Lester thing for him to say, but whatever.
Well, you know,
he's all sassy now.
I think Lester feels, I guess I bought that line only because I feel Lester feels he's been a little walked over again with the whole Jane thing. And look, I don't blame him. Like I said last week, I mean, I think Jane's intentions are actually, I think she has noble intentions, but I don't know if I'd be able to, the woman I'm with, be thrilled with her being a sex surrogate for somebody, you know.
It's if he can do it, if she can do it, he can do it. I mean,
yeah. So that's so. So we'll see how it goes. Well, the ladies have Lester to look forward to now when they come into the office. So there you go.
Wait, would he be a surrogate for women, or would he be a surrogate for other men?
For women.
For women.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
No.
And that time,
I don't know, maybe a man would feel comfortable if a guy was, like, in the corner watching or something.
Oh, me?
You never.
I don't know.
Lester's up for anything. Yeah. That's going to be in the office.
So we are going to get to see a little bit of help with the women in terms of, you know.
Well, I think he's just put there to kind of, you know.
Well,
to make a point.
Any
clearly from last season, Barbara, who Lester was with, she had issues that, you know, so
he knows Lester has experience. Does have experience, but I don't think Bill... I've never gotten the feeling that Bill has really ever been that concerned about women.
No, me either.
No, yeah.
Barbara was pretty much the only... Besides like, the capping and the infertility, I feel like Barbara was the only woman we saw with
Yeah.
Is there somebody else, maybe?
No, and that was only because she just happened to be a secretary that worked in the hospital.
Yeah.
I think with Bill, he doesn't understand, like, how to separate a woman's sexuality from a man's. Even though Virginia's kind of been like, you know, women can have multiple orgasms and they can do all of this with their bodies and da-da-da. He understands that as a scientist, but I don't think he views women as sexual beings without the presence of a man.
Oh, no. I mean, I definitely think that Bill still has a long way to go in terms of... He still comes off a little massage.
Yeah. But again...
Mucho massage.
You know, it's also the times.
Yeah.
It's also the times. The times are changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan.
Hey! More Dylan.
Hey!
since we're talking about The Office, let's talk about...
Betty.
Yeah. Who I was so...
Betty.
I'm so glad in the last two episodes she'd had more to do and stuff like this.
Yeah, and we got to see her. You tell him off.
Yeah,
tell him off, Betty.
Well, when the episode first starts, Helen is coming in with Austin. There's been this deal made, and this was I love that Austin is back as
a
character.
We don't see flashbacks very often in this show.
I loved that cut.
I thought it was really fun. Perfect. I was really happy about that.
Yeah, it was. They did it in a fun way where we're getting the cross cut from him in the strip club, which he does own the strip club.
Another
great real estate.
Big mistake. Huge.
Yeah, but my real estate developments are.
Did anyone catch up Adam Arkin? And directed this episode.
I didn't like
it. He directed the last one.
Yeah, okay.
He did.
He's directed a lot of them. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Directs a lot of The Americans, I'm noticing too, since I'm watching that show. But anyway, look at that. But
he must be in a guild.
Yeah, who knew? Austin comes in with Helen as his wife,
Celeste.
Mm-hmm. Celeste, and I guess it. I'd heard Betty mention Helen's name in the office, so I would have assumed these people would have met Helen at some point.
I thought 7 years and they have never met Helen. Crazy.
Yeah,
that I think because of the times that Betty might have told...
But even to stop by with some lunch or something?
But no, though Betty might have told Bill and Virginia, it's still one of those things where it's kind of like taboo, you know?
But is there that big of a taboo between knowing you're a lesbian and introducing you to your lesbian lover?
It's like I can't speak for all gay people, but I'm just in terms of like a friend of mine when we were growing up, he said, there's a difference between you thinking and you knowing. Like, you thought I was gay, but you didn't really know I was gay until I was gay. So I feel like it would be kind of the same instance of like, you know that this person is gay, but you haven't seen them with a partner. And during that time, how would a person respond to, like, okay, I know that they, and you know, people at the time, like, oh, I know they have interest or going through a phase or whatever. And then when they see the person with their partner, then it becomes real. Yeah, I get that.
I'm just saying, just in general, like, even having Helen, like, stop by just for, like, you know,
just a handoff lunch or something.
Formal introduction necessary.
I don't think Helen cooks.
You
think Helen cooks?
She'll pick up something and bring it out. She'll get some takeout.
Forget lunch. 7 years is a long time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a while.
But I guess they were together the whole time.
They've been together enough now that they know.
Okay, moving on. Okay, so they didn't know who Helen was.
They're bad co-workers. They should know that.
No big deal.
Yeah, they obviously
didn't have a whole lot of potlucks.
They need to have a Christmas party. The Masters and Johnson Christmas party. Right.
Maybe Virginia knew her. Maybe Bill didn't.
Anyway. Either way, she's here now.
Yes.
And this is the plan. They're going to, you know, they've been having trouble conceiving. So, and it was so, Sarah Silverman, I thought, was great in this episode because it required a lot of, you know, what she's best at, her comic town.
And talking about a vagina.
Exactly. The two things she does
the
best.
She's so good at it.
And she's laying it on really thick, especially with Betty. Like, I bet you she does the books here, too, I thought was a great little moment between them.
That was
them.
Really, really fun. Also fun because we all know that Sarah Silverman and Michael Sheen are a couple, and it was nice to get to see them because they're in the show together. It's nice to finally get to see them be in the show together.
Yeah, that's how they met.
And
then
he's examining her there. And that was also terrific. It was both comic and, of course, a logical way that he would find out. That,
I thought, ooh, interesting oversight. But I guess...
Yeah, about her hymen.
Honestly, just knowing what we know now, doesn't make much sense. Like, she made it 30-plus years without her hymen being broken by, like, a bicycle.
Yeah, hymens are very temperamental things, aren't they?
Like, she's done nothing?
That surprised me, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess this is a moment where... I got enough of a laugh out of the reveal that I kind of forgive the logic of it.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll let it go.
Well, you know what else was funny? As I'm watching this, I'm like, well, at what point is Bill going to find out about this? Because clearly he's going to find out. It's going to be a big problem. And I thought it would be something we might have to wait a few episodes for.
Because I remember, because last episode we were wondering, I was like, okay, are they going to do the capping or are they actually going to, like, you know,
get down to business?
We didn't know what was going to happen. So I thought it was interesting that they were, like, right away being like, no, we're going to go about this in, like, a very scientific, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
with it's also, tools and things.
It's also interesting, Austin... kind of is getting out of this idea that it could help him with his kids and stuff like that. Which
so
is
sad. Because you always kind of know he's going to lose his kids.
That was a big thing. Him and his relationship between his wife and his children has kind of been ongoing.
Yeah. Honestly, we haven't seen his wife in God knows how long on this show. So
beginning of season two?
Probably. Maybe. And we also find out the whole diet... pill stuff did not go. He almost lost his medical license.
She had to go play a senator on Scandal, so they couldn't.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, better things to do.
But Bill finds out just about immediately, and then, like you said, there's this great scene between him and Betty, and one of the best scenes we've ever had, I think, between them.
Betty was like, "What kind of idiot do you think I am? Come on, dude."
And she calls him out on all his BS. And again, Bill being Bill does not have any response to any of this. He can't do anything about this because she's absolutely right, everything she said.
Yeah, Bill can dish it, but he can't take it.
No, he can't at all.
Not at all.
And now we see at the end, though, we said, are they going to do the camping? Are they going to get down to business? They decide they're going to get down to business.
Yeah, down to business.
Yeah.
And the
was a very intriguing sex scene.
It was a very...
Looked like fun, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good times.
Staring into her.
I know. It was just kind of like, it was almost like when a parent is taking a kid to get a shot or something. Like, you can do it. It's
okay.
No big deal.
It's going to hurt a little bit in insertion, and then you're not going to feel a thing.
Pretty much.
Now, do you think, though, it's going to work? Do you think she's going to get pregnant, or are they still? Because I feel like it can't work only because I feel like we need to get to a point in the relationship with her and Bill where Bill's finally willing to help them.
Yeah. Also, I mean, a lot of couples have to try for a really long time.
Yeah.
I mean, how long are both Austin and Helen willing to go at this? You know what I mean? Like, I think at a certain point.
And they also are older. And so it's
I was thinking about that too.
Yeah.
So I feel like this isn't going to work, and I feel like they're going to have to go back to Bill. And I'm assuming, and I'm hoping that eventually, by the end of the season, Bill will... Maybe he's still against women raising a kid on their own or whatever... But maybe he's at least willing to help somebody who means a lot to him. It means a lot to the office and his career.
It's done a lot for him.
Yeah.
Like, his study wouldn't exist without Betty.
And, I mean, she said, hey, I've been helping you out a long time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time to rub my shoulders a little bit.
Well, meanwhile, in Las Vegas, Virginia has like we said, she's been calling in sick with a fake cough and
playing
everything.
Hooky.
Yeah, and immediately... And Bill, again, you know, she says you got to make him think it's his idea, so he was fine with her. Give her through the weekend.
I know.
You
know, she can play him like a fiddle.
He also just wanted to be able to run that program.
I'll give
you a little bit, Virginia, but he was also playing you.
I mean, the second I saw her lying in bed, I knew something. We all knew something.
I could tell she was in a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't at home.
She was not at home.
Yeah, that's true.
With a B for Bellagio, like, on her.
Is that where they were, the Bellagio?
I just assumed because I think it was a B.
I don't know
my
Vegas hotels very well.
Oh, that was a set. Bellagio looks so updated they could never use the real one.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
Well, she's there with Dan, and Dan's there basically, he wants to pump scents into different smells into casinos.
Pump scents.
Which
pump
I thought scents. Might have been
smell scents, not brain scents.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that might have been the beginning of them deciding to pump oxygen into casinos.
You guys know about that, how they pump oxygen
to kind of get you to like go into a lull. Or high, so you stay there longer.
Exactly. Well, he brings Virginia with him on this trip, and this is very, and it is unlike Virginia to just like get up and go and leave the kids.
We've had so much this season of like, Virginia, you work so hard. You know, you do so much. You just need to take some time for yourself. I feel like that's been like this huge thing this season.
Hey, well, you know, it has been a lot of that. And I think a lot of that also because bringing in Dan Logan, mm-hmm. who clearly wants, he sets up this whole relaxing day.
Yeah. He actually won me over this episode. I was like, okay, Dan, you can stay.
You weren't won over already?
Nope.
Okay. Like, see, I actually...
Because I didn't get his intentions as a married man. Like, what's the deal with his wife?
Yeah, that's the
what's
thing.
What's the deal with him in Virginia? He's, like, what?
He still is a married man, which is still the upsetting thing.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Right? And it was just like, and how open he is with Virginia and like being public about going out with her and everything.
Well, even like,
I just want to know what that's all
about.
I guess
there wasn't any Snapchat back then.
She tells him he would make a great father, and he basically says, "Oh, that wasn't going to be
my decision."
So, I mean, whatever relationship he does have with his wife, it's clearly, I mean, maybe it's just like an arrangement at this point. Oh, you think she's sick?
Okay, because that would be. That would just make more sense for how he's so invested in Virginia.
What?
That he's married to someone who is ill and has, like, either given him permission or it's like, this is going to be weird, but, like, Ted Danson's wife was, like, suffered a stroke in the mid-70s and he took care of her for as long as he possibly could, but I think in that time they had like some type of agreement.
I read a whole letter about someone with the whole Ashley Madison hack where they were basically saying a similar thing, like, look, I'm really sick, and you know, so.
And that's just kind of what's going on with Paul. I mean, could anyone blame Paul for wanting to, maybe not Libby, but like having sex with another woman when his wife is comatose?
I just almost feel like if he were to tell, he could tell Virginia. I mean, there's a myriad of reasons why he wouldn't tell her, but just saying, he could tell her.
But here's the thing. If his wife is sick, I actually say I like Dan Logan less, though, because at least Paul's like with someone in his hometown and still they're taking care of his wife. Who's taking care of Dan's wife then?
Depends.
At this point?
They have a lot of money. How long has she been sick? You know, has it been 15, 20 years? And so there's just a lot of stuff I still want to figure out about him, but I did like how he treated Virginia this episode. And he also treated her like an equal.
Yes.
And listened to her.
That was a very important moment for me when they were at the dinner.
Yeah.
And he immediately, because I'm watching his face throughout it, and I wasn't sure. I couldn't read it. And this is, Josh Charles has been killing it in this part. Mm-hmm. He's been doing a great job. And I couldn't tell, like, is he bothered that she's chiming in? Like, because this is his kind of feel.
Yeah.
Or is he happy with her? And then the second he says, she's my partner.
Yeah.
And
it kind of felt very
Bill and Virginia, this kind of back and forth, kind of helping each other out.
But I feel like he, and I mean, granted, we're seasons away from this, but I feel like he went a lot quicker to making her a partner in his thing.
Took forever.
And then immediately the second he sees that how much of an asset Virginia is, not just as someone, as a companion, but an asset in business and in this program, immediately introduces a partner, which is great. And it's a great moment. You could tell that even endeared her more to him. Even though earlier in the day, Virginia, it's funny you say, like, it's a whole season of Virginia. Virginia just needs to relax. Yeah. Virginia will not relax.
She doesn't want to.
She doesn't want to. No. Her idea of a good time is walking through the casino and seeing how everyone reacts.
Yeah.
And it was a really, it was really great to see Dan have that reaction after we've seen that scene between Virginia and the trophy wife in the casino where she's talking about, we have such great lives and you know, we can just sit around and travel with her husbands and, you know, of course we have to go to the dinners. It was like, shut up, please. You're Virginia hates you. But
talking to the wrong lady.
Dan, not treat her that way. To not treat her like, you're just here to
like pretty. Like arm candy.
Yeah.
Like, Dan set her up with all that stuff. Because it was just, that's a nice gesture no matter who you are.
Yeah.
And, but he knew she was going to can't. He knew this wasn't going to be for her. But he has to make the effort. And yeah, I love that. I love when she walks away from that woman at the slot machine. Even though her machine's going to hit soon. Mm-hmm. But she can't. Yeah, she can't be around. And then I like how she's looking at everybody and observing. And later when she talks about, like, kind of the way people react to winning and comparing it to sex, and she kind of lays out. And I guess that's why I wasn't sure how Dan was feeling about it, because I thought, is he going to think that's going to scare this guy off? Because you never know. But no, he ate it up. Also, and she talks about.
He's a casino owner, you know.
Yeah,
what I
you
mean?
Figure
he's,
they pretty
like
much
the most straight and narrow guy.
That's true. That's true.
Wasn't it all started by gangsters? Las Vegas
exactly.
Started by gangsters.
Yeah, Bugsy Siegel and all them. So there you go. So great guys, all good guys,
all good guys. Good things.
But she. And she talks about, like, the smell of, like, even, like, the smell of losing and things like that. How all this stuff, like, we all sense this. And then the meeting goes so well. They're having this great night out on the town. The Look of Love is the song that played for that one. And
they're
then
in the throes of pash.
Exactly. And they kind of fall back into the hotel room. They're all, you know, they're all excited to be. And all of a sudden, there's psychotic bellhop.
I don't know who this kid is.
They
but
bumped
he,
into him earlier.
Yeah, which was a weird moment that really stood out.
I must but it was also that. Probably him tagging them, being like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they're out of their room and we'll go.
This kid really killed it. I should look how up who this actor was, but when he was talking about having taken his mother's jewelry and this whole little monologue moment he had, it got to me.
He became addicted to drugs, right? Because I couldn't understand everything he was saying in his monologue, but I assumed that he had become addicted to cocaine or heroin, like, in Vietnam.
Yeah, and it sounded like there was a different escapes there, and it only lasted for a little while.
Yeah.
And this guy comes in, and he's going to, you know, he's going to rob them. He's going to stab them. And Dan goes right to action.
I was so afraid he's going to get stabbed.
Yeah, same
which
here.
I honestly found the whole thing, I'm to be honest, a little jarring. And not necessarily in a great way.
And not really necessary.
Yeah, I felt like they just needed to kind of shoehorn in this kind of army thing where he's kind of the surrogate for Henry.
And to kind of bond.
Yeah, because I think that Virginia got to look at Dan as kind of like a little bit of a hero.
Yeah.
And then also to see him be reasonable about her request.
Yeah.
And to not say that that's ridiculous, we're just going to call the police, but to be like, no, okay, I see where you're coming from.
And look,
I'll help this kid.
Calling the police is a perfectly reasonable thing to do, but Virginia didn't want to do it, and Dan was willing to hear her out on that. Again, treating her as an equal, not being like some guy who's just like, no, I know what to do, and this guy's got to go away. Because we find out this guy, was in the army, and immediately Virginia sees her son in this guy, and then he's telling her all these things about how your son is not going to come back the same person, about how my mother kicked me out. And they really take sympathy. And Dan really goes above and beyond at that point to try to help him.
Pays for the rehab.
Yeah, pays for the rehab.
Yeah, crazy.
And, you know, and look, it's all for, he's doing this for Virginia.
Yeah.
And doing this to kind of put her at ease, knowing that, you know, there'll be people when your son comes home that will help. It's not going to be this way for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the best they could do. And it is a moment that brings them closer together in many ways.
Do you think we're going to see Henry by the time the season's over?
I've been so afraid.
In a box.
That's why I've been so afraid that he's going to.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's just,
no, but I mean, that's when we. I mean, I think we said that in episode one.
Yeah.
And I don't know anymore if that's going to be the case, because I feel like they're getting enough.
And
Vietnam in the background that we're dealing with it in some way. I actually thought that we've been given
enough of the dose of it that we don't necessarily.
Well, they might
need
bring him back for like to deal with the repercussions of PTSD.
Yeah. So, because honestly, he isn't going to be, even if he doesn't come back as messed up as this kid was.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be different.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I've never been to war, but I imagine that's a very life-altering experience.
Yeah, or if you go the other way, different. And, you know, he comes back different, and he's more together, and he's, you know, ready to take care of, I don't know, the family. I don't know.
He might come back as an entirely different actor.
like Bobby on Mad Men. Just,
right?
Yeah, every season, a new Bobby.
It's a different dude.
So, okay. So, it's really I thought that was great. And what we see at the end of this, though, is Dan does not. He claims they didn't take the offer. The casino didn't go for it.
Yeah.
But then we find out, Virginia finds out, no, they did go for it, but he refused to relocate to Vegas. And they're like,
oh, because he doesn't want to leave Virginia. Yeah, but, like, well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's something else.
No, well, they said, because they specifically said, I don't know what his ties are to St. Louis.
Yeah, and he's from New York, so it's Virginia.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
The casino owner was like, he's like, I don't know what it is about St. Louis that he would turn down this. Why would you want to live in St. Louis? And there's only one reason, Virginia.
It's just so sad, because, you know, like, you know how their story ends. Just like you know how Libby's story ends, because of the eventual marriage of Masters and Johnson, but she's like, oh, I like Dan now.
Yeah, I like Dan. And even there at the end, when Bill comes to bring the soup, and Dan's there with the, you know, he's there in the kitchen, and there's this moment
like
where she's
in the home now.
Yeah, and she's like torn between the two men now in her lives. Like, Dan, and Dan's on the inside. Dan's where Bill used to be, like, hiding in the kitchen somewhere, and now it's Dan. And Bill is really, and you know, we talked about this, the one...
I feel like Bill's always going to come back to Virginia's doorstep. That's what it seems like.
He is. I mean, that's always
where
the case.
Where he wants to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, but he doesn't realize it enough. He doesn't know how much still I think he needs her, because he's still always pushing her away, thinking he can always get her back, but you know...
You can't do that to people.
Exactly.
Personal thought there.
Just kind of watching, we're just kind of watching Dan kind of slowly move in on Bill's position. Yeah.
And like I said, I started liking Dan a couple of episodes ago, and now I think we're all on board.
But
I think one of the reasons I think we are all on board is because we know it's like a doomed romance. Right? I mean, we know.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
something.
It's just one more thing to kind of push out of the way until we can hear wedding bells.
One more thing I want to bring up before we get to predictions. Young Dr. Jonathan working with Barton. They're both big classical music fans.
Like, what if he really is talking about classical music this whole time, and like Barton makes a move on him? He's like, no, I really meant, you know, Vivaldi.
Just
like,
classical music.
Yeah, so, and Barton's got a new love interest, I guess.
Potentially,
definitely some flirting happening.
And I'm glad we're seeing a lot, because season two we barely saw any Barton. And I like that even if it's just a little moment like this, we have this character. One, because I do think, again, because of the times, the issue of a closeted gay man, especially an older man, is very interesting.
So interesting, especially that
he is older.
Let's
get to the 70s and send them to either San Francisco or New York. Get there. Get to the 70s.
I mean, I don't know what this... I mean, this was really a storyline. No other characters were around for any of these scenes, so I'm not sure necessarily what we're setting up here. Is it just a romance, or is it...
A figment of his imagination.
Not that.
No, that actor who plays... what is his name?
Jonathan.
I've seen him around.
Yeah, I've recognized him.
So I think he will be returning.
He'll be back.
Yeah,
he wouldn't just be like a day player. He'll be around.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how his story, and if Barton's story, and I hope it does, connects more with everybody else in the office at some point.
Yeah, we'd love to see him more in the action.
Interacting.
Yeah,
he's not, like, as much as I'm happy to see Beau Bridges around, he's not as connected to everyone else.
That might just be a technical thing. If he's shooting something else, and maybe they just bring him in when they can, and they're like,
"Well, it's like how it is with Joan Cusack in Shameless." She, you know, they love her so much in that character that, like, she just has these weird offset stories.
Whenever
she's available.
Can I get Joan Cusack, you use her when
and
you get
Beau Bridges.
And they
usually shoot her in Chicago, because I think she lives in...
Yeah, she's from Chicago.
I remember
those Cusacks.
Yeah, right?
All right, so I think that basically covers it for the episode, so why don't we get some predictions?
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Spooky prediction. Adrian, you weren't here last week, so let's start with you.
Well, I think Libby and Paul will probably come to an end next episode.
Okay.
I think they're... That Virginia and Bill are definitely going to have a standoff next week about the surrogates when she gets back to the office. And I think that'll end up pulling Dan into it, just because Bill has some feelings about that. And then we'll probably see more of a Jane? Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also, we didn't talk about how Dan was like, wait, that was last episode. Never mind. I saw both episodes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, with Tessa, you were thinking?
Tessa. Sorry, not Jean. Tessa. We'll probably see more of Tessa next week as well.
Yeah, I was. I've been loving Tessa's character, and I'm
loving to hate Tessa's character.
Yeah, I kind of was disappointed she wasn't in this episode.
I was bummed we missed her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say I'm just really interested to see what kind of where this whole Nora thing goes. And really interested to see just this whole surrogacy thing I think is really fascinating. And I want Helen to get pregnant.
Yeah, I would like to see that get pregnant too, but I think it's going to still happen. I think
at
Bill's still going
to
have to get a hand
to be,
in there.
Yeah. So I guess I'm looking forward to seeing more kind of where that goes. That wasn't very good. I'm so bad at predictions.
You know, well, let me tell you, this is a tricky show for predictions. Like, you know, when you're on like some like crazy sci-fi show or something, you can come up with anything.
It's
but
left
this
on
one, yeah, this yeah. one is this is always a tough show. Because I mean, look, we also like. I'm pretty sure at some point Dan is going to take this Vegas thing, and that's going to be at the end of that.
Yeah.
I think Virginia's going to push for him to do that, and that's how their relationship's
going to
end.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they'll be in the next episode, but it's definitely before the end of the season.
She's definitely going to be like, hey, so about that whole Vegas thing, you lied.
Yeah, exactly. She's going to, or she's going to needle enough for where he knows she went.
Yeah.
I think, last week we were talking a little bit of the, about the Jane Lester marriage, about how is this marriage going to survive this? But I think now that Lester's involved is it's going to end up making their relationship
like
stronger.
Like I was saying, we weren't seeing them really together, and now that we are seeing them together more, it's like, oh, okay, things aren't as bad in this marriage as
I
thought.
Because even though he's like, there's some passion there.
It's friendly banter back and forth. There's feelings there for sure.
Yeah, and I'm also very curious where this Nora storyline goes. And you know, by the way, who I hope we see again soon and becomes a bigger antagonist to all these people is those religious nuts.
Yeah,
we haven't seen them in a little while.
Literally, it's been. I mean, we mentioned them a couple times. We haven't seen them.
Yeah,
at all.
The last time we saw them, they were outside the office protesting. Like,
yeah.
They had to call the police. But I hope we see, because I do think that's a fascinating. I think that's a fascinating antagonist again with the times. All right, so Adrian, where can
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. That's MSADRIANSNOW.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Quinskillian. You can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram, and you can search for me on Vine at the Quinn Bee.
And you can follow me on Twitter at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to my pop culture comedy podcast, Will Sean Podcast. It's great. Give it a listen on iTunes. You'll enjoy it. Until then, thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.